What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Vicky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Jacalyn Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor Jay Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, 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 everybody. This is Pastor Jay. And like always, I got something to say. You know, we're going to start off in normal fashion. It's a new year and we're going to come out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God is renewing you from the inside out. He is healing you from the inside out. God is dealing with your heart and all the things that was rooted in it. He's dealing with the way you think, your mind. He's giving you a renewal of mind so that you could be able. People always look at for instant gratification. But I want you to know that God is working in your behalf from the inside out. So some of the things you might not stop today, but day by day, you'll start seeing you not have interest in those things. You'll see that you'll not be the person that's always worried about stresses, overthinking, dealing with stuff that ain't got nothing to do with you. God's going to be able to renew your heart, to be able to start loving and not having grudges, be able to pray for your enemies. You know, one thing that I really, really, really love about God is God will give you revelation. And one revelation that came to me some years ago was that you cannot hate somebody you pray for. That's why a lot of times you don't want to pray for your enemies, because you want to be able to hold on to that hate. No, pray for them. But remember, praying for somebody that's done you wrong is like pouring hot coals over their head. And it's something that you give God that battle. You don't entertain that battle. Keep your peace. Keep hold to your peace, keep hold to your grace, keep hold to your mercy, and you get it daily from God. Amen? Amen. Dear Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for bringing us through the week, God, being able to give us life, being able to heal us, to be able to give us revelation and wisdom. God, we just ask you to just be able to bless everybody under the sound of my voice to truly see the evidence of you in their life daily. God, I ask you to be able to let us reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, I ask you to expand the territory of Anointed Radio to be able to go to new regions, new cities, to new people, to new countries, new continents, to be able new regions, new airwaves, God. God, we just be able to ask you to let us be a great representation of you tonight, Lord. Let something be said so that somebody could walk away with something that they need, that they've been asking you for, God. And God, we just ask you to be able to touch anybody under the sound of my voice, to be able to have every chain broken, to be able to make amends with every relationship and even with themselves. And God, that you can be able to provide the needs that they need. So God, we thank you. We glorify you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We say, enter the room tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Jalon. Like always, I got something to say. What I got to say is this. You can follow me at Anointed Jalon on all social media platforms. And if you want to get any of my music, I mean any of my music, go to all those digital streaming platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, even Anointed Radio Station, and listen to the Jesus You Make Me Happy, Renew My Praise, Slip Away, Spirit Flow Through Me, and my new song, Can I Get a Little Grace? That's out on all streaming platforms, so make sure you go and get that. In absence of my co-host tonight, an announcement. I didn't want it to just go by and act like little Judy that went upstairs and never came down. We had two co-hosts that had to reside due to scheduling issues and being able to take care of other projects. So Semi So Real and Mercy Cummins, they were had to step away from the show. We all still love them, everybody. We all still love them and definitely keep checking out what they're doing. They're doing great things. But we do now have two slots open on the Anointed Radio Show for new radio hosts. So if you know somebody or if you are thinking about it, let us know. Email us at lvanointedradio@gmail.com with your reels, your social media links, some mock interviews or interviews you've done before. Anointed Radio is looking for new co-hosts for our main flagship show, the Anointed Radio Show. So if you are looking or if you've always wanted to be on radio, definitely email us at lvanointedradio. I need a bio. I need a headshot. I need some interviews you've done before. And your social media. I got to see your social media. You got to be active. Because this is a collective. This is a teamwork here at Anointed Radio as a platform. Amen? Amen. With that, we're going to go ahead and pay some bills real quick. Pay some bills with. Make sure you go and support Las Vegas sports. We are a media partner for the Las Vegas sports. So shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas Knights, Las Vegas Aces, our two-time champions, Las Vegas Aces, and our one-time champion, Stanley Cup champion, the Golden Knights, the Las Vegas Aviators, the Las Vegas Lights, and I believe we have the Silver Knights and the Wolfpack, the Vipers, and, of course, UNLV basketball. Last night I went to a UNLV basketball game at Thomas and Mack. They went against the Lobos, New Mexico team, and it was an amazing, amazing game. Shout out to the Boone Twins. One Boone Twin had almost 30 points dropped last night. It was dope. So definitely make sure you stay involved with Las Vegas sports. Las Vegas sports has grown since the beginning of Anointed Radio. When Anointed Radio first started, we had no teams. And now we have so many teams. We're almost a team mecca. And if you didn't know, the Super Bowl will be here next month. So Super Bowl City is already open. They're doing a lot of events here in Las Vegas for Super Bowl City. So be involved, Las Vegas. Go out, check it out. The Super Bowl being in our city is an amazing blessing that we could be able to go check out because a lot of people don't have this experience. Second thing I could definitely say is this. You could be able to see so many things at the Super Bowl City that's unique for this Super Bowl. So despite if your team didn't make it or not, definitely if you love sports, you love football, go out and check out the Super Bowl City Las Vegas edition. Because, you know, we always do something different. When they did F1, we did it different. Hopefully no potholes will mess up, you know, Super Bowl City. But definitely go check it out. With that being said, that's all of our announcements. We want to go ahead and bring up a great woman of God. She's been in the radio industry for so for like her resume go from here to here, you know, it's just, it keeps going. She's so experienced in radio. I look at her as like a mentor and like, a legend to be able to talk to. So I'm so excited to have the honor to have Miss Neely Dickerson here in the building tonight. Everybody, give a good round of applause for her.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. So how we do it here at Anointed Radio, we go ahead and tell all the people where they could find you, your website, your social media, all that good.
Well, my website is neelydickerson.com. You spell my name N-E-I-L-Y Dickerson, D-I-C-K-E-R-S-O-N.com. And then you can follow me on the great Instagram at Neelyville. That's not Nellyville. So every once in a while, something at Nellyville will come up and I'll be like, I didn't post. Oh, that's him. So my name is Neelyville. It's at N-E-I-L-Y-V-I-L-L-E, and on Facebook, Neely Dickerson. We have other social media pages, the Indie Company, which is my marketing promotions company, which is at T-H-E-N-D Company. And then there is Gospel Top 40, and it's just at Gospel Top 40 Chart. That's enough. I think that's enough. But we'll repeat it later.
So Let's do some icebreaker questions before we introduce you. So icebreaker question will be this. What is one thing that you left in 2024?
You mean in 2023?
I mean in 2023.
Fear. You know, just more. I'm not doing it anymore. I believe God. Since I believe him, I'm going to go ahead and trust him and stand on his word. So no more fear. Just going for what I want. If it doesn't happen, I just figure that it's not now. If it does happen, I want to be very careful with what God puts in my hands. So I'm just not going to be afraid anymore in 2024. And I'm usually not afraid, but sometimes I get apprehensive like, okay, Lord, I'm going to put that out here. But if it doesn't work, then it's okay. No more of that. No more of that. Lord, if it doesn't happen, then we're going for the next thing. We're just going to keep moving. So that's it.
Amen. So I would say I left in 2023.
Yeah.
I would say entertaining things that don't suit me.
Example,
getting into things that have no reason, but people like to dump. Like one thing I've realized, people like to dump their issues on people.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have such, you know, empathy and love for the people,
mm-hmm.
we receiving it like it's the goodwill. Like, oh Lord, yeah, just give me all your stuff. Give me what you're going through. Yeah, we're gonna go ahead. And then when they finish and they done with what they're going through,
mm-hmm.
I'm a wreck. Mm-hmm. So to the point in 2024, I need to focus on the things that God has intended for me, and accepting other people's stuff will not happen this year.
I understand that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I've had my times.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had my times with that. So let's get into it. Being real Baptist with it, introducing you to some and reintroducing you to others.
That's hilarious. I like it.
Where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
I am born a poor Black child in the city of Memphis, the state of Tennessee.
Mm.
And 9 months later, they moved said Black child with her mama to Los Angeles, California, and I was raised there the rest of my life. So of course I would go back to Memphis to go visit family, but for the most part, my rearing, high school, like all schools, high school, junior high school, all that stuff was here in Los Angeles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's one major thing you could say that you learned in Memphis, even though you weren't there for a lot of the years, but what was one, some things? Because I'll give you a perfect example. See, my grandmother was from Houston, Texas. She was from Fort Worth, Houston, Texas. So every summer, we would get on a Greyhound from Oakland, California to Houston, Texas. And first of all, that ride was hell for a 7-year-old.
I can only imagine. That's a long time.
And that was back when Game Boys had batteries. So many times that I could put a Game Boy battery in and out to have power to play the game. I was mostly looking out the window. But I learned from the South a lot of things about family,
mm-hmm.
you know, learning how to be together despite mm-hmm. your finances, despite of the issues. I saw in the South when I would go to Texas, a lot of family be close.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back to the Bay, it was just kind of like, I'll deal with you. I'll deal with you. If I don't, I don't. So that was one thing I learned from Houston. What would you say you learned from Memphis?
I would say the same thing. That's where family was. When we were here, it wasn't that many of us. My family, first of all, is small anyway. So then when we go to Memphis, I would be visiting my mom's family and I would be able to hang out with my father's family. So, and it was bigger. My father's family and was huge. So it's like all of these people and his wife's family was huge and they accepted me in. So we did plays. We used to torture our family, our parents with plays, and it would be the hottest summers in the whole wide world. I think Memphis and New Orleans, I know it gets hot in other cities, but it's a different kind of heat in Memphis. Mm. Kind of just makes you just go, Jesus, why? And I really don't want to die and go to hell if this is what it's going to feel like. But I would say family because, you know, here I was the only child. I was by myself. For the most part, you know, and you know how you have to be around adults and act like you don't hear what they're saying, but you hear what they're saying. And you're going like, and you're looking at your mother, and your mother's like, you're like going, okay. So I had those moments more in LA, but in Memphis, you never heard the conversations because you always be around some kids, you always be around your cousins and your whatever. So that was different, and I think that's the key thing, family.
Okay, so. Going into music, what really sparked you to have a passion for music?
Well, when I graduated from high school, I didn't want to work. I mean, I didn't want to go to school right away. So my mother said, well, you got to work. And so my mom worked in the music industry. And one of her closest friends was the head of human resources at a record company called A&M. And she was like, hey, she can come over here and get this job over here. So I started working in accounts payable. And I started seeing, they started having me batch checks. And so the checks that I would be looking at were huge, like $1 million for one song, the publishing on one song. I did the wrong thing. I should have become a writer. But I just started getting to see different things and hang out in the industry and see different things with regard to marketing and those kind of things. So that kind of stirred up something in me to kind of get into it. My mom used to be in the industry for years. She used to sing. She used to do all kinds of things. And then she became an executive and a writer in the industry. And then I kind of just fell into that from doing that. And that's basically where it started and evolved into a lot of things after that.
So was there a warning from your mom when you got into the industry of what to stay away from and what to do?
Not really, because the industry was different. It was welcoming. It wasn't, everybody didn't want to be in it. You know what I mean? Like now, everybody's an artist. Everybody's a promoter. Everybody's a marketing person. Everybody's a publicist. Everybody's something with regard to entertainment. Then everybody didn't want to do that. They appreciated who did, but people really still wanted to be doctors and lawyers and teachers and, you know, just have a regular job and go home. You know what I mean? They didn't mind working for FedEx or UPS or something like that and going home and taking care of their families. Now, everybody wanted to be an entertainer, entertainment. So I think if anything, it was like, don't mess with those drugs, if anything like that, because I didn't start in gospel. I started mainstream. And so, you know, it was like warnings like that. Like, you know, make sure if you get a drink, you watch it the whole time. And that's something you should do now. You know what I mean? Right. But I've never been a big drinker or anything like that. It was just those little notes to take heed to. Because, again, I did not start in gospel. So I would be at events and people be doing stuff. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to stay over here.
That makes sense. Well, one thing I would say is, what was one big memorable moment of those early years?
You know, when A&M was a label, that was started by two geniuses. One guy named Herb Alpert was the A, and Jerry Moss, who recently died, who was the M. And so working with them, the industry back then was so different. Like, they took care of the people. And even if you weren't making the money you should have been making, or they potentially could have paid you, they did so many other things. You know what I mean? So they gave you big bonuses. They had parties. For a secretary day, everybody got dinner, lunch. And if there was a concert, labels used to buy tickets to the concert. So they would send out a memo and they would pass it around they would distribute it around through the office. So like at 3 o'clock, if all the Sting concert tickets were already given out. You could call somebody and say, hey, we have 25 pairs of tickets left. Who wants to go? You can call and go, oh, can I have a pair of tickets? And you'd be like, they'd be like, yep, just come get them. You'd be like, yes. So it was things like that. A&M had Janet Jackson sign to the label. So when she did the Rhythm Nation video, we were all kind of standing on the side watching it because they taped it on a lot. It was just a lot of different things, excuse me, and a lot of it made me really want to own a label at one point because I wanted that same energy and that same ability to grow executives and to do marketing and to develop stuff that they had. So that's what I really wanted. Now, let me just say something to you. I take care of my aunt who has Alzheimer's. So every once in a while, she'll walk around and she's next to me. So if you hear background noise, that's her. I'm not going to move her out of the room, but just wanted to let you know.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no problem. And that's that family part again.
That's the family.
Especially because I actually took care of my grandmother. She got dementia in 2001. She passed in 2013. Mm-hmm. So I understand.
Okay. I didn't want you to be like, what is that? She's sitting right here singing. I don't know if you can hear her, but she's just humming away. So, So those are some of the things that I learned early on and I just appreciated about the industry, the way it used to be.
So I would ask this question. Is it too late for you to start a label still to this day?
Well, I defuncted my label. I had a label called Church House Music and put out 1, 2, 3 artists. I have another artist that we're potentially putting out a record called The Gospel Wonders. They're a quartet group. They're really dope. They really are dope. Then I had originally signed to my label Melanie Daniels from New York. And then I don't know if Melanie actually signed. We started working together. And then I signed Ted and Sherry. They're a duet and they got nominated for 3 Stellars and 1, 2. And then after that, it just was not financially doable to manage it anymore because it was all me. There was no backing other than me taking the money that I was making from my marketing and promotions company and just reworking it back into the label. So sales weren't moving that fast. The notoriety on the artist were, but it doesn't always balance. The income doesn't always balance. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. My outgo, the money that I was spending was greater than what I was making. So you have to make decisions. And so I still have my label and play around with it, but it's not, if someone just said, here's $2 million, go do what you want to do. I would be like, yeah, hey, hey, but people don't do that anymore. So we're prayerful and we're hopeful.
We're going to pray. You never know. Somebody could be watching and be like, well, hey, she already had everything in the groundwork. So let me go ahead and just put the finance because that's mostly.
Come through, Jesus. Come through. That's, you know what? It's funny that you said that. I'm believing God for a special project that he will just breathe the finances into and it will be easy and it will be successful. So that's definitely something I'm praying about right now.
So I got to ask this question. You was in the mainstream. How did you get to gospel?
So I come back from Howard University and I was depressed because I couldn't find a job. Lord, I can't find a job. Jesus, help me. And my mom, again, was friends with a lady named Vicky Mack. And Vicky had called my mom and said, hey, do you know anybody who has a little bit of record industry knowledge because I need an assistant? Because she was working at a label called Sparrow, which is now Motown Gospel. It evolved into Motown Gospel, but it was Sparrow then. And so she, I was her assistant, basically. I was her coordinator. I'm gonna give myself a fancy name. I was her coordinator because that's what I did. I coordinated everything. I assisted with developing that. And so that was gospel. The label was Sparrow. And on the label was Daryl Coley, Tremaine Hawkins, and Richard Smallwood, and Sandra Crouch. And so that was for a year. Maybe a year and a half, I worked there. And then Vicky started Gospel Century. And so she asked me, once I get some money, again, the key thing is you got to have money. Once I get some money, if there's an opportunity for you to come back, would you? And I said, yeah. And so after that, Janelle Coley, who was Daryl Coley's wife, she and Vicky started out kind of like partners for management. And then Daryl was the head of A&R for the label. And so once things started to develop and she did start making some money, they asked me to come back. So that's why I got back into it.
Okay. So what was the major differences that you've seen between how you went doing a little industry with the mainstream, and now you're going into gospel. That's a two is to me, and with me being in the industry, I know that's night and day. So how was it for you back then?
Oh God, you got to get me in trouble. So here's my thing that's different about mainstream versus gospel. The mindset at mainstream is let's get this money together. So Jay, you got something, Neely got something, I'm gonna put you on mine, you're gonna put me on yours, we're gonna work. And gospel, right, everybody has a mindset to get the money, but I'm gonna go get my bag and you go get your bag, and then we'll meet each other to see who got bags, versus saying God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His cattle is plural, and hills. So if he owns all the cattle on the hills, then he can bless all of us. And I don't know that there's that much of that. It was different for me in mainstream. It would be like, yo, we could do this for you. And sometimes I would see people do stuff and be like, we don't have to exchange money. We'll come back and ask you for our favor. So that's like, I hate to say that.
Well, it's not. I was just talking to, I think, Pastor Will last week, and he broke it down about how these tours are very late, like in gospel, because, you know, now that we're having the tours with the Kirk Franklins and the Ty Tribbetts and the Clark Sisters, these tours should have been happening and continue to happen to be able to usher in the new and to be able to cultivate the old and to be able to make everybody as a collective. But like what you said, a lot of people have the mindset of, well, I'll do my own tour, or I'll have my own awards. That's why we have 30 awards out there.
but here's the thing about the touring. Touring right now is different than it was back then. Like a gospel tour, it wasn't that, to me, now, it wasn't that you can't put John P. Key and Kirk Franklin on the same show, right? It's just that for me, I don't know that the audience was ready for that necessarily. I don't know that the gospel audience was ready to go, because here's the problem with touring for gospel. If I go see the Clark Sisters in a tour and they come to Detroit, I'm not paying for that, because Karen going to be at somebody else's church next week. Dorinda going to be at somebody else's church, and I can go see that for free. That's the challenge of a gospel tour versus a mainstream tour. You're not going to see Mary J. Blige at the little dive down the street next week. She's not coming like that. You know what I mean? Right. So in gospel, that was always the difference. You always had to say, don't do another date. Because if you do another date, you're going to prevent people from wanting to come see you again. So, but... Right. The difference is so for gospel artists, getting the bag, if we're going to stay with that, was different, because they're not getting the kind of money either. Because not until till now, let me not even say recently, not until now with this tour, were gospel audiences willing to pay the kind of prices you got to pay for a tour. Let's just be honest about that. Like, people was complaining about Taylor Swift and Beyonce tickets. Like, who's paying that much for tickets and why? Right. And so I think more than anything, I think if we could have had, and like, but I mean, I kind of dispute that, because there were tours. There was Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammond did the tour Life. That was in the 1990s. Then Al Wash had a tour called Power 98, which was dope. Hezekiah Walker, the Williams Brothers. It was a huge show. And it was at a theater. It was at the Universal Amphitheater in L.A. So there have been tours. I think this tour was big and in a stadium, because you can try it and see if it's going to work. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we tried it. But I think that's the difference with gospel artists when it comes to tours, is that you have to stay off the circuit. Because you can't say, okay, Ty Tribbett is going to be on this tour, but then Ty Tribbett is potentially going to be in Burbank next week. You can't do that, because LA and Burbank are 30 minutes away. And so
people will wait it out.
If I can go see Ty Tribbett for free at my church, or for $50 versus $200, I'm going to the church.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's why now with tours, you know, people are, because here's the other thing we have going for it. We were in the middle of a pandemic. So people are ready to kind of get back out and see how that's going to work. You know what I mean? So I think those are some of the things that now people are just trying to see if people are coming out. And so I think that's one of the benefits to doing that.
See, because I when I was referring to doing tours, like I remember because Donnie McClurkin came to Love Center in Oakland when Pastor Hawkins was still alive, and people would come all the time. But I would never see a Donnie McClurkin, Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams all on the same bill from what I remember as a kid compared to like what's happening right now, where you're seeing the Clark sisters, Yolanda, Tangela Mann, Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribbett. They're all on the same bill where it's like a collective thing where kind of like what the secular side have been doing for years. Like if you saw Kate, if you saw Jodeci, they would bring H-Town. They would bring maybe Tupac and they were all on the billboards.
How old are you?
33.
Yeah, you're young. Okay. So I'm going to give you some tours. There was Donnie and Kirk did the Kingsman tour with Isaac, with Israel, Donnie, Marvin Sapp and Kirk. You remember that tour?
No.
Okay, they did that. That was like maybe 10 years ago. Then they did maybe 18 years ago. Then Yolanda, I think, and CeCe Winans did some dates together. Mary did some shows with, I think, Donnie. So there have been pockets of tours. Now, let me tell you, you said you were up north?
Yes.
A lot of times people don't always come to California. It costs a lot to move a show in California.
Well, you know, I thought we got a lot of shows, but when I moved to Vegas, where we hardly get any shows, I was appreciative of what we were able to get in Oakland and or the San Francisco dates where people were actually coming, because we're in a city where no tours really put on dates. Like you'll see me on some that when they post dates, like, oh, we're going to be here. I said, where Vegas at? I was like, we have church. We have 300 something churches here.
Vegas is a hard market because of the shows you have on the strip. So you can't compete with Usher. You know what I mean? It's hard to compete with Usher. Now you got Usher coming. You got Jodeci coming. You got Boyz II Men was there.
T-Pain.
T-Pain is coming. Never coming. Oh my gosh, you know he can sing. Oh my god. So you have these shows that are built in, that are these residencies. It's like, who's gonna compete with that? Who's gonna compete with that in the city and go? You know what I mean? The only thing I was saying about gospel when it comes for gospel, it's expensive to move a show in LA. So if you can't sell your tickets for what they've been selling them for, people kind of be like, well, which, because everybody wants to go to LA. Everybody wants to go to, people will want to come to Vegas, but you got to figure out where it's going to be, how you're going to sell it, and are the people really going to come? Because again, if you just said, how many churches y'all got? How many churches you got with the black audience in Vegas?
About 300 and something churches.
Right. So if the main church says, or the main five churches eventually can bring all of those artists, I'm waiting to pay 25 or 50 to come see them versus 200. 300, and tickets are expensive right now. So I'm glad the tours are out there. Hey, bravo. I hope they continue to be successful, because we got the one coming with Erica, Tasha, Israel.
And Ja'Kalen.
That tour. So you got people doing stuff. So I said, hey, let's go get it. Tour it up.
And the reason why I brought that up, because I felt like I want to see more collaborations, because like what you've said, there's a lot of individual islands when it comes to gospel music, but I really feel like that bringing the audience, because what I've seen, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I've seen a lot of artists will have a concert the same day and every audience would have to pick and choose, like, okay, Ja'Kalen coming tomorrow. Okay, Kirk coming today, and they would have to pick and choose who they're going to go instead of it just being one big show collaboration, which I think that is awesome, because it would be able to cut down so many dates and people picking and choosing, because the church scene now does that, where one person can make out. I can tell you right now, somebody make a date. I can say a date right now. I'm like, well, you know what? February 1st, I'm having a revival. There, by the time at the end of the week, there will be six more events on the same day, around the same time. For, but I was the first one to say, let's do a revival and trying to get the city to come out. But then now I'm competing with six other events and six bodies of friends and cliques that I feel like that's what the body of Christ does everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, if we could just all come together for one big event, it would be amazing and it would be impactful.
I think so. I do think it's, we should, I like the coming together, but I don't mind us doing different ones because then it shows our value. Because if we all have to only be on one show, then how valuable are we separate? So there's a balance somewhere in there. You know what I mean? I'm not mad at when I say come together. I'm like saying, if I have, you're a new artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a new artist, if you said, hey, I want CeCe to sing on my song, you know what I mean? Like, that's what, those are the kind of collabs I'm meaning. Not necessarily tours, because I get tours because you want, I'm not mad at the tours coming, the people coming together, and I'm not mad at them separating because that shows the value of the genre. Because if we all have to be together, then we're not powerful as we can be. Like, I think we do need to come together. There is power in unity, but I think it's also power in us being able to say, I'm going to stand over here and do mine, and then you come here, because in mainstream, they do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mary can go out. Beyonce can go out. Michelle, you know, you have the art, different artists can go out. Jay-Z can go out. LL can go out. You know, you have these different pockets of people who can go out, and it just, it's a cycle. And I think that's what we don't have. You know what I mean? Like, to the point of, okay, I'm here today. So-and-so coming next week. Make sure you go see them too. Now, here's the power. I'm in LA as an artist, right? And I do my tour and I've done my dates. So let's just say I know that you coming behind me. Now, Pastor Jay is coming next month. I'm gonna see 10 tickets in the people. Whoever call into the station and win the tickets, y'all can go. Let's make sure we get everybody in these seats to fill up the ticket. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
That's and that's the business side of being able to really support one another and really blow it up. Because I think when it comes down to it, and we're going to kind of switch over into talking about the charts. Even when it comes down to charts, when you said what you said about, man, we don't show our value when we're just put into like one category. I think about the charts, because when it comes down to gospel, there's so many different genres, right? And we saw the flaw of us being on one chart when Kanye went and took every slot, because it was, even though he made a gospel album and he made a Christian rap album, but Christian rap still falls under gospel. So I feel like even with our charts are not even diverse as mainstream. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a gospel charts are crazy and scary. Because to your point, the genre embodies so much. So you have to figure out if you're gonna have a gospel hip hop chart, if you're gonna have a gospel quartet chart, if you're gonna have a gospel jazz chart, if you're gonna have a gospel traditional choir chart, if you're gonna have a gospel, you know what I mean? So choirs and stuff like that can all kind of come together. But the quartet, the jazz, the hip hop, those things are definitely different. And so you got to figure out how you're going to celebrate it. Because even with my chart, I have a chart called the Gospel Top 40. Go to gospeltop40.com. And it is the top 40 singles. Now, what we try to do, and our goal is with our panelists, is to support every genre. So it could be like, so say, for example, I'm going to use Philly, for example, because one of my panelists is in Philly. And the one thing that I like about him and most of the panelists is that they understand that if Kirk Franklin, the Clark sisters, Yolanda Adams, or CeCe Winans release a song, you're going to figure out how to see if that song resonates with you. If you like it and you think it's going to resonate with your audience, you need to be, hey, here's a new single by Yolanda Adams, because now people are going to stay tuned into my station. You understand that. Mm-hmm. However, that doesn't mean that if somebody new, Neely Dickerson comes out with a record, Pastor Jay comes out with a record, and I like both of them, I got to figure out which one of the two new artists is going to resonate with my audience. So I'll maybe try both of them. then it's like, but I like traditional sounding music. When you open your show and you had like straight ahead church, I was like, yes. Like, then you got to play those kind of classic songs. And that's the beauty of our genre, is that you can figure out within an hour to an hour and a half how to incorporate all of that and celebrate all of who we are. Because Christ said we got to do what we need to do to reach him, right?
Right.
So I do think that that's like in a house. If you have a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter, then you need to be able to reach all of them so they can all sit in the car together and listen to the radio.
Right. So talking about the top 40, let's go ahead and talk about your project, your baby, Gospel Top 40. Go ahead. What made you inspired to start Gospel Top 40?
Well, about 10 years ago, I was talking to the guy I work with. His name is Brett Keller. And we were talking about, man, this chart is just so whack. It's just not this. It doesn't reflect everything. So we're talking about it. And then he called me, and either I was talking to him about Linda, or he was talking to me about he talked to Linda. And it was a lady named Linda Greenwood, who's on radio in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we were both having the same, we were all three having the same conversation. So we were like, hey, what would it look like if we started a chart? So we were originally going to try to do it with college stations. But the problem with college stations is that the turnover is so high. Because once the students graduate, then you start with whole new people. And so then we had to figure out, if we had panelists, would they be committed to submitting their top songs without us being able to monitor them electrically? You know what I mean? Because it's like, this is not a technology thing. You've got to actually do the work. Send us your top singles, and then we go through and we tally it up, right? So this is an old school method. But the thing I like about it is that it's true. You know what I mean? These are people who are submitting to us. They mean this. They are like, okay, I'm going to send you my singles. And then you guys can tally them up, and we'll figure it out from there. So that's where it came from. And we have been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. So last year, they were talking. They said, well, we really need to figure out the chart. I said, you know what, guys? We're either going to do it. Because, you know, it was like that thing, no fear, and I'm tired. That's my other word. I'm tired. So it was like, I'm tired of us saying we're going to do it and not moving. So I was like, if we're going to do it, let's just knock it out. So they were like, okay. And I think I kind of like put a little bit of frustration in them, not fear, but I was so like, ugh. I was like, we got to do it. So I said, we're going to do this. So we called some people. They said they were interested in being a part. We had a Zoom call with the panelists. And when they all said yes, I was like, and we just put it all together and have continued to develop it into what it is. And in October, we celebrated our first anniversary. And amen. Thank you. And like the one thing that I kept saying, you guys, we've got to at least put two charts out a month. We cannot miss. We've got to be consistent. And I think the thing that was so powerful is that we did it. And we missed one time. But other than that, we put them out. People were, and the crazy part is it kind of looked like the media base in the Billboard charts, but not. It had its own personality, and I like that. And so I love what we're doing to build community and to get people involved. It's not only a chart. It's making sure that people can be heard. Like you submitted, like when you did your single snippet, right. I think that's powerful to have. Like, for example, if you do the snippet, the on-air personality who introduces it goes, I like this song. Let me figure it out. You know what I mean? So it introduces you as an artist to a whole nother person. And then when other radio on-air personalities go to it, or programmers, they can go, oh, this song sounds good. And so that happened with the song by B. Chase Williams called Power of God. Pam Dixon from Columbus, from WEAM in Columbus, Georgia, introduced the song. And her intro was so dope. A programmer was like, yo, tell B. Chase he got an ad because of that single snippet with Pam Dixon. Because it's a whole vibe the way she did it. And so, you know, those kind of things make it easy for programmers to not have to go back and go, well, this song fit or something. It's like that 40 seconds, because that's all they need to hear is to hear if it's something that you're going to like, you know, like the first 30 to 45, 60 seconds, you know, if it's a hit, or you fast forward in to kind of go, I'll put this to the side for a minute. But that's what really generated it and made it something we really wanted to do, because not just me, it's three. And we just continue to grow it and develop it into something that we believe is going to be powerful and impactful in the industry. And not just in the industry, but for the industry, for the artists, for the personalities. I think it's going to build community because we all need each other to survive. Facts. Right? You guys need artists to play on radio. Artists need radio to be heard. And then we come together and we're a community that's hopefully funneling money back to each other so we can keep each other moving forward.
And I think that's a powerful thing because one thing that is needed is a community. Mm. As where everybody, and not a clique. And I highlight that again because a lot of people get that confused. A community where like, oh, it's just us. No, a community is something where people that's doing the great works come together and be able to get mentorship, help, guidance, different things like that. I remember it was during COVID, back when Clubhouse was only for people that could actually get an invite. And we were all talking.
And you had to have an iPhone.
Yes, you had to have an iPhone. And we were talking about it was me and a few other radio people. And I asked Cheryl Jackson. I said, Miss Cheryl Jackson, us internet radio people need mentorship because we're coming into radio and we're seeing what you trailblazers have done before us. And we need mentorship. And that's where I feel like the divide is, because it was a thing that I was on a panel talking about terrestrial radio versus internet radio. Mm-hmm. And that was the conversation that we were talking about. And how could we make a community where it's like, I don't know you, but I've seen what you've done. You could see what I do. And you could give me honest, not hating, because there's some people that you got to know the difference between feedback and somebody just really just downplaying you.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
So just be able to get that feedback to grow to the next level. And I think that's a community, a sense of community where we could iron sharpen iron, build off each other, help each other, network with each other. Because, you know, like you said, we all need each other to survive, especially in this gospel world. It's too small. You go to four award shows, you're going to know the same people.
Right, absolutely.
So one thing I would ask is, what would you give as a word of advice for people coming into gospel, artists and radio announcers?
Pace yourself. No matter what your age, I used to say that the entitled ones were the babies, but I think when people come into a new space because they're insecure or they don't know it, there's this arrogance. It's like low-key arrogance because they don't know. So they posture like they don't need you versus saying, but you just said, hey, I'm new. Good to meet you. This is what I do, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I think the people who they're saying, hey, I'm new to, need to be receptive. So there needs to be two things that are happening. Mm-hmm. The new G's need to acknowledge it. And then the OG's need to be like, oh, okay, cool, come on. But when you come on, you can't not be willing to listen and learn. Because what happens a lot in situations like that is like, oh yeah, no, I already know. Yeah, well, why are you here? If you wanted me to help you, why are you here? Yeah, you're here to just be able to say, yo, I'm in a room with so-and-so. So, because that's the thing that is frustrating too. When someone says, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I don't. Because people go, well, they say they know you. No and no are two different things. I know who a person is, but it doesn't mean I know them. Like, I know who Kalante Gavin is, but I don't know him. Right. I've seen him. I've said hi to him, but I don't really know him. I'm a fan of his voice. I mean, you know what I mean? But right. Now I know Donnie McClurkin. You know what I mean? There's a difference in no. And so I use those two because, you know, they're similar. age, but similar styles, right? But, and I think what needs to happen for people to come together is to, first of all, have that place where we can come together. And then second of all, when we get there, figure out how to make it work for everybody and to be able to understand if you're asking someone to help you, to be able to listen. And then if the person that's listening will be really sensitive and give you the information that you need. So I think it's a balance of how we need to figure that out.
And that makes sense because at the end of the day, time is valuable.
Oh my God, that's more valuable than anything. Another thing I would say is when new art, like one of my biggest problems, like people always say, well, I always wanted to work with you. I said, yeah, but one person I said, you know what you said to me the first time you said you wanted to work with me? You said you were going to come work with me so that you could glean for like 2 weeks and then go start a management company. And then that's when I said, well, you need to leave now.
Wow.
Because if you can glean from me what I've learned in the, and at that point, it was probably 15 years in 2 weeks. Why are you coming to see me? You just want my Rolodex. If you don't know what that is, my contacts. But when you get them, what you going to be able to do with them? If you don't have a relationship, you're not even here to try to build relationships or learn how to build them. So that becomes the frustration for my generation is we had, they wouldn't let us just move to the front of the line. Whereas the younger generation, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to move to the front. What you going to do when you get there?
Mm.
What are you going to do when you get there? If you don't know what to do and how to do it and how to do the different, like at different stations, how they have, what do you call it? Oh, I forgot. It's different, a different operating system. So if you don't know how to work all of that stuff, it's more than just saying, hey, I want to program radio and I'm tired of being on internet. I want to go to terrestrial station. Well, you got to learn some stuff before you get there. You got to understand. Sheryl Jackson taught me nothing else. Her and Tracy Bethea, respect the clock.
Yeah.
Honor the clock. You better honor that clock. Keep it going versus you just talking over everything and just talking. Radio is not for you to have prayer time. Radio is three or four things that they want to do with radio in the morning. The only thing they're listening to the radio for is to get the time, weather, traffic, time, weather, traffic. And then they have to play advertising because like you, they got to pay bills. Those right. are the most important things. It's not the music. It's not the funny. It's none of that. It's time, weather, traffic. Same thing in the afternoon drive. So if you're talking too much, the problem is going to be the person that's listening is going to turn the channel. It's subconscious because they want to know, okay, what's going on Crenshaw? I live in LA. You know what I mean? What's going on the 405? What's going on the 105? So I got to turn the channel so I can find out. So I want to, on purpose, get to the commercials. And then I'll listen to the commercials to get me to what I need to go to. So right. that becomes what, again, that's just something that you have to understand as a radio programmer and make it fun. You got to figure out how in between all that you make it fun.
Hmm. That was a lot right there. It was a lot by I was receiving all that. I was picturing everything as you were saying, because a lot of people see, you know, even in internet radio, it still wasn't as easy as what people said, because it was even when I started internet radio, it was always some people saying, well, you're gonna have to pay to play. I hated that word. So I just researched. I'm a rabbit hole person. So I mm-hmm. learned the thing that I could learn, and I'm had no problem with mentorship. Like I will learn from you, and correction is nothing wrong with it. But man, just thinking about knowing that you're on the clock and mm-hmm. knowing that you have just a certain amount of time to be able to play everything, it's even more minute on mm-hmm. on that level compared to internet. Like internet, we have our hour spots, and we have our, you know, and we might go over a few minutes. But just remembering when I used to be in station and how my program director would be like, hey, and rush off. It's a big difference. So I want to ask, what are some of the future projects that you have coming up for 2024?
I'm excited about the Gospel Top 40. Really, 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 really. The Gospel Wonders, speaking of my label, are going to put out a single and hopefully an album by June. And then just got some projects that I'm really believing God to really, really allow me to move in and to blow up and to really have fun. Cause I want, another thing I want to happen in 2024, you said, was I leaving in 2023? What I want to happen in 2024 is I want the music business to become fun again. Cause I believe it's been so laborious and everybody trying to figure out chart position and wanting to be famous and all that, go on tour. It's like, can we just have fun? We didn't used to put out, we didn't used to do this for that. We mm-hmm. I didn't say, oh, I'm a producer of rock record and then we're gonna win a Grammy. It was like, we got nominated? Okay, we was just doing the work. You know what I mean? And I'm, and it doesn't mean that maybe subconsciously it's in your mind, but that wasn't the intent. The intent was just to do a good record. The intent was just to have a good show. The intent was just to have a good event. The intent was just to produce a great thing for people to enjoy. And I want us to go back to that and for us to see people get saved and the people that are saved to really be in this walk with Christ, because life is hard. Facts. So when we're presenting is this God who doesn't make it easy but livable, right? So I really want there to become a mantle for people to celebrate and to live that out, because life is not going to stop lifing.
Right.
Not going to stop. People are going to keep dying that you love. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be doable because we have this great God who's with us. Mm-hmm. And we have examples from the Bible of people that we've known and touched who have shown us that you can do it. So may not, don't mean you're not going to cry. Don't mean you're not going to laugh. Don't mean you're going to have all of those experiences, but to really just buckle down and get into it.
I like that you said going back to the foundations of God, because I feel like a lot of times I've seen over the years a lot of people just be on autopilot with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell by their life, because they could, just because you still have the talent don't mean that the oil was there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you could tell the difference, and you're like, man, why does it sound different? Why? Mm-hmm. But I used to get this feeling, tears would come from my face. Now I'm just kind of bold faced, mm-hmm. And I miss that. I think that's one thing, because I know a lot of people know how they got saved, but for me, I got saved by music.
Mm-hmm.
I started hearing the word in the music before any preacher could come preach to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the choir that got me saved.
Mm-hmm.
That choir was singing some stuff that got me in my soul. I was mm-hmm. over there, ooh-hoo, crying. And then when the pastor got up, I actually heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I would just see, everybody turn your neighbor. Church over. You see how I timed it? That was mm-hmm. all I heard. But mm-hmm. when choir sung and my heart opened up, because the music was really about Jesus. It was really mm-hmm. about you saved and saving your soul. It really changed something in me. Like I was talking about in the scripture, it changed me from the inside out, where I was able mm-hmm. to feel again. Because a lot of people in this world today, especially since COVID, are so numb
mm-hmm.
and nonchalant. That's the two common things I'm starting to see, because they're burying their hurt. They're burying mm-hmm. their pain. And then they got to take it out on somebody. So they're either taking it out on somebody close, or they're taking it out on God himself. And that's why the church hurt. Let me stop. But
No. But to your point about COVID, if you don't mind for a second, I think I was going to do a round of things with some women at my church last year. Is COVID really over, and how did you make it through? Because I don't think we talked about that. COVID, I was talking to this guy one time, and during COVID, like, we're both grown people, and I was like, I want my mommy. Like, literally, I felt like that during COVID, because it was overwhelming, because we didn't know enough. We didn't, like, you know, you can do what you got to do if you know, but we didn't know. We couldn't go out. We didn't know if when we went out, we were looking at people. If somebody coughed, you're like, oh, God, Jesus, no, I'm about to die. You know what I mean? So it was right. Just like, we didn't know, but we haven't talked about that. I saw this meme one time of a crowd, like, at a stadium, and it said the first therapy session after COVID. And it was like 50,000 people in the stadium. But I don't know too many people who have had said, oh, I want to go back and talk about it. Now we just see people out and trying to manage. And if government hasn't helped, or people who are putting money prices on stuff, because everything has tripled. I live in LA. So if it's doubled in the South, it's tripled in LA. So something that may have been before COVID, $1.25 is now $3.75. And you're like, what? That is just like a pack of cookies, like 10 cookies for $3.75 for real. And you know what I mean? But everything went up except people's salaries. So people are trying to figure out. So you got smash and grab. You got people doing crazy stuff because they're trying to figure out how to survive. And the thing that we offer, to your point, musically and even in the word is this great Jesus. And if we don't figure out how to continue to offer him, then he's going to let somebody else do it. So you can be mad at Kanye. You can be mad at all of them, because the Bible still says, if I be lifted, he didn't say who had to do it. He just said, if I be lifted, I'll draw. So y'all better get to lifting.
That part. And it really makes a difference if you have a personal relationship, because it comes out. You could tell. One thing I remember when I became a minister, they said, never preach hurt. And I never understood that, but until I saw hurt preachers, and you hear them, mostly they're ranting.
Mm-hmm.
They're not preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranting to the people. That's why we see that clout on social media, where you see a preacher talking about, oh, this person over here. I'm like, what does that got to do with your congregation being saved? But that's what they meant by don't preach hurt, because if you don't get yourself right with God,
right,
then what's in you is going to spill out, even in singing. If doing drugs, if it, whatever that thing that you're dealing with, will spill out to people. And I remember a preacher never say, he said in singing, people will spill out spirits of what they're going through.
Oh yeah, no, you can tell what somebody's dealing with when they preach, when they sing, when they just get up to talk, and you could tell what they're dealing with. So yeah, you have to. As a minister, as a singer, you have to really figure out how to. There's a guy named Daniel Johnson, who's one of my favorite praise and worship leaders. And Daniel does something before he doesn't even know it. I told him recently, before he starts to minister, he like will get up to the mic and he'll be ready to go, and he'll stop and go. And then it's like he'll just like pause for a minute. And it's like he won't stop until he knows it's between him and God. Not him in flesh, because you know, he could just sing. But most of the time it's this thing that he does where he backs up, like, I'm not ready to present this to God yet because it's not pure. And I love that place. So I do think that we have to all be sensitive to that. You, before you go on the air, me, before we even do this interview, you got to be sensitive to making sure that Jesus shines, because no matter what we do, I want to be a quadrillionaire, but I want Jesus to shine in my quadrillionaireism, so that I can turn around and make other people, what's under that, billionaires. You know what I mean? So I don't want it to be something where it's just about me, but I want it to be about me, and I'm not ashamed to say that. You know what I mean? But I do want to be a blessing to people, not only financially, but just what I'm able to do to say, hey, let me introduce you to this person, and whatever comes out of that, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? So.
Amen. So I like that. And I'm not ashamed to say that I want to be a trillionaire.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
You know, because I feel like in the body of Christ, we struggle with that part. We're like, oh, you got to humble yourself. But you should be able to make it plain.
It's okay. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due.
Yes.
And if you've done a good job, it's okay to celebrate you. I'm not celebrating Jesus. What we're celebrating is what he put in me.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, we're Amen. Not. Just because I'm lifting me up don't mean I'm not lifting him up, because he put it in me to lift me up.
Amen.
It all goes back to him. That's the point. Lift him up. So if I lift him up, then the fact that he's lifting me up is because he knows that he can trust me to can do you to do what? Lift him up. Because we're lifting him up to do the draw.
Amen. Amen. I like. Amen. So, well, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you again, all your websites.
So, website is gospeltop40.com. Neely Dickerson, N-E-I-L-Y, Dickerson.com. At Neelyville on Instagram, gospeltop40 chart. Make sure you put chart on Instagram, and Neely Dickerson on Facebook. I don't do Facebook that much, though. I'm just going to be honest. It's too
late. All my Facebook people, she don't be on there. So go to Instagram. So one thing I want all indie artists, if you want to know how to be involved with the Gospel Top 40, make sure that you go and check out the website, Gospel Top 40, and reach out to them and support and get you a snippet. Get you, yeah. get, get you a snippet out there so that you could be able to get a lot of more people to know about you, because you can have the best song, but if you don't market yourself, it doesn't mean anything. Awesome. So definitely go to the Gospel Top 40, get you a snippet. I got a snippet.
We play back up.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, you're back up because at the beginning of the year, it's been kind of slow. So you get a little bit more love. So it's still up there.
Oh, to God be the glory. You can go see the example with the legendary Liz Black out of NYC. She shouted me out and did my snippet. But mm-hmm. you can get you a snippet to indie artists, because it's important. Like she said, someone was able to get an ad. I've been on interviews since the snippet, like since December to I was on an interview before this show. So it works. So make sure that you get your music snipped on Gospel Top 40, shout it out, then you can shout it out and you get material, and then other artists and other announcers are gonna be like, oh, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
And you can also buy an ad if you want to buy a banner. Go to the Gospel Top 40 and then go to the drop town and look under advertising. You can see all our advertising. It's really cost friendly, and I think it's something that'll be helpful for you, of course, again, to be a part of the community.
Amen. So make sure you guys take advantage of that, because it's resources. Everybody asking all the time, where's the resources? Well, here you go. Here's some resources, a starting point. And then from there, keep going. But Miss Dickerson, I just want to say I appreciate you for coming on tonight. You did one thing that is the most valuable thing, and that was spend time with me. So I appreciate you. And on behalf of Anointed Radio, we thank you for coming on. And like I've told everybody for the last 7 years, when you come on, you family. So is anything you need from us, marketing wise, shout out wise, or even any help, we're definitely here to be able to be that resource and be that part of the community with our resources here at Anointed Radio, because our mission statement is unity brings change. And just think, if the body of Christ becomes united, how an impact it would be for the body of unsaved people that's out there. So I thank you. I appreciate you. Any last thing that you would like to leave the people with?
I just appreciate you allowing me to be here and to share a little bit of who I am and who the Gospel Top 40 chart is and who the Lord has allowed us to be over these 25 years. And then we're still doing new and creative things. So I'm excited about that and excited to have this opportunity and look forward to Gospel Top 40 becoming the chart, the go-to chart for the industry overall, even over Billboard, over Media Base, becoming the place that births out not only community, but brands and industry and all kinds of things. So thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity. It's been my pleasure to spend time with you and look forward to working with you in the future again.
Yes, ma'am. And one thing I want to say, I declare and decree in Jesus' name that an angel investor will come out of nowhere and give you that $2 million for your record label, because they know that you already done the work, you got the knowledge, and that now you could be able to have the funding to be able to go forth and be successful, to be able to bring back that experience that you had at A&M.
You know what? Praise God for even listening to all of that. And when the angel investor comes, we're going to be a blessing to you and everything that Anointed Radio Network is doing. I promise you that we're going to be a good blessing to you and say thank you for speaking it and decreeing it and praying it over my life. I'm happy about it. Excited about it too.
Amen. It's going to happen in Jesus' name.
2024 in Jesus' name.
So if y'all just coming on and we on Instagram, shout out Instagram. We on Facebook. We on Twitch. We on everybody. Shout out to everybody. Don't want to stop. Yeah, we're on Instagram. We live right now on the Anointed Radio page on Instagram. And one thing I want everybody to know, it don't got to stop. Why it don't have to stop? Because on our podcast platform, we're on everything. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. We can see the video live visual. We're on TuneIn. We're on all podcast platforms, Black Effect and Tidal. But we're going to see how that works later down the road. So with that, make sure that you go and follow us on the podcast platform, where you can be able to see over 400 episodes over the 7 years of we've been here. And you're going to always walk away with something impactful and something that's going to be able to get you right with God. So with that being said, much love. Y'all stay safe. Drink your teas, because y'all know I got a tea book. What is it? Creole Tea Remedy by Pastor Jaylon on Amazon. All the remedies that my grandmama taught me about tea. She was a tea guru. I'm just passing the knowledge down. You could be able to get that on Amazon because, you know, the cough is still out there. The RSV out there. It is just tearing people up. And it is way too cold in Vegas. We got freezing.
Ooh, it's cold in LA too. Like, it was 60 today and now it's going to go down to 40 at night. I'm like, no, Lord, this ain't what we used to.
We've been at 30 degrees and the 15 and has snow. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And the 15 had snow going into LA.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's hitting different. So everybody make sure you stay warm, stay bundled up. I'm talking
about these teas because I'm into my tea life.
Oh, yeah, Creole Tea Remedy. Check it out on Amazon.
Okay, I will.
And get,
now,
and
I don't have an Amazon account. Do not hate me. I don't have an Amazon account.
I remember. So... I'll get you the book one way.
Thank you. I appreciate Amen. It.
So with that being said, make sure you guys follow us, share, like, subscribe, stay blessed, and much love. Peace, everybody.